You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, September 18th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Where You're Leaning is Where You'll Land.
Genesis chapter 13, verse 12 says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And again, I want to speak tonight on where you're leaning. Where you are leaning is where you will land. Where you are leaning is where you will land. You know, when I was coming up, of course, I worked on a ranch a little bit over the summer times. It was called River Valley Ranch in Millers, Maryland. And so I worked on that ranch a little bit, and I worked with horses a little bit, and I was able to go ahead and rope some horses and ride some horses and just did some neat things. And they had fence posts, and it was neat to be able, as a young man, it would not be neat at my age, but as a young man, I'd get up on the fence post and I would be able to walk the fence post. And I found out, you know, you got to balance yourself. If you don't balance yourself, you're going to fall, and you'll always fall the way you're leaning. You'll always fall the way you're leaning. So my question tonight is, which way are you leaning? I was in preaching for a pastor not too long ago. I flew out on a Monday and Tuesday, and I was preaching for this pastor of a church, and he said, I'm in derision. I'm at a point of making a decision. I don't know which way I'm going to make this decision. He said it could be a life-changing decision for my church, and he said, I just don't know which way I'm going to make the decision. I said, let me just ask you a question. Which way you leaning? You tell me which way you're leaning, and I'm going to show you where you're going to land. It happens in child rearing. It happens in the business world. It happens in the ministry. It happens in your marriage. You make decisions based on the way that you're leaning. And so we're going to look tonight about Lot. You know the story of Lot. If you're a Bible student, if you've been saved very long, you've been in an independent Baptist church, no doubt you've heard a preacher get up somewhere along the line and he's preached about Lot in Lot's life. I think it's always good to go back and to remember exactly what took place in Lot's life. And so I want us to take our Bibles tonight and go to Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to turn different places, but predominantly tonight we're going to be in Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to talk about Lot, and we're going to see which way Lot was leaning and what took place in Lot's life. And it might be a sober reminder of the way that we ought to be careful in our individual lives. Genesis chapter 13 in verse 10, the Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, even as the garden of the Lord. So it was a very plush area. It was a place that was well watered. It was a place that anybody would look at it. If they had flocks, they would look at it and say, that's the place I want to take my flocks. It says, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zora. And so you see here that Lot's looking out, and Lot being somebody that was looking for something like that. And you have to be careful, because not everything that you look at is exactly the way it appears. So you've got to be careful. Let me have a couple of young men. Just give me one to begin with that was chosen, okay? I asked just different young men. Come over here. All right. So notice this, that he's making the decision based on carnality. He's making the decision based on carnal reasoning. Here you see Lot. Here's what he's doing. He's looking out and he's basing a decision on sight. He's basing a decision on what he sees. He's not making a decision based on a spiritual principle. He's not making a decision based on God leading in his life. He's not making a spiritual decision because he went to his uncle and his uncle said, this is the place you need to go. No, he'd already made a decision in his heart that this is what he wanted to do, and he was making a decision based on sight. By the way, that's what Eve did in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. She made a decision based on sight. That's what David did in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2. He made a decision based on sight. Eve, of course, taking of the fruit that she should not have taken. David there in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2 made a decision based on the appearance of Bathsheba. Now, you got to be careful. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, the Bible says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman and lusteth after hath committed adultery it says with her already in his heart. There's that look. You've got to be careful where you look, because the way that you look, that means already you're starting to lean that way. Your head is turning that way. Here was Lot. He's making a decision based on carnality. He's making a decision based on sight. Look, the grass will always look greener on the other side. Always look greener on the other side. You say, well, my wife and I, we've been married for X amount of years. You know, we're having struggles in our marriage. You be careful that you don't make a decision based on sight, saying, well, everybody else is happy. First off, you don't know that. You don't know that. You don't live in their house. You don't know what their relationship is like. They might act like Mr. Joe and Miss Josephine Christian in church on Sunday night, carrying their 20-pound Bibles and having their goober Christian smile. But you don't know. They might be throwing frying pans at each other on Sunday night after church. They might be using Christian curse words Sunday night after church. I mean, you have no idea what it's like inside of the home. You've got to be careful not to make a decision based on sight. That got Eve in trouble. That got David in trouble. When you make a decision based on sight, many, many times we make the wrong type of decision. John chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, judge not according to appearance. It says, but judge righteous judgment. So God says you don't judge according to appearance. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so God says we're not supposed, you look at something and say, that's terrible. By the way, watch this. You know, some people can go into a broken down home and they can see the future of the broken down home as being something that would be a glorious place to live. They've got the insightfulness to be able to see that. They can see not what it is, but what it could be. Every Sunday school teacher needs that. Every bus captain needs that. By the way, every parent needs that. You see your child today, you look at your child and you think, there's no hope for my child. But if you look at all that your child could be, then what you do is you pattern yourself to be able to put principles in that child's life to help them to become what they ought to be. See, here's what the Bible's talking about, how Lot's desire was a cardinal type of desire. It was full of carnality. It was full of that which is flesh. It was full of selfishness. He's looking to take care of himself. He's looking for the place that's more pleasurable to him. He's looking for the place that's more plush to him. He's looking for the place that's more comfortable to him. But we have to be careful not to make decisions that way. That's why he says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, where he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There's a warning about things. You know why? Because you start looking at things and you start to crave them. You crave the nicer car. You crave the nicer home. Look, if I was going to have to trade Bible principles for something that was nice, I'd keep the Bible principles and throw the niceness away. Because the niceness is not going to teach your children Christian character. I would not sacrifice Christian education on that which is the alternative for driving a nice car. One, do it. I would not sacrifice putting Bible principles in my children's life just for the sake of being able to eat out more. I won't do it. Don't let the sight control you. Look, come on. I would not sacrifice on where I went to church based on, my child doesn't feel comfortable. My child doesn't see things the way. No, you base it on Bible truth. Here, Lot had no sense of understanding about this. He's looking out. He's looking for the well-watered plain. He's looking for the plushness of the grass. He's looking at it in a selfish way. He's trying to fulfill his selfish desires. And because of that, that's the thing that started to get him in trouble. He said to set your affections. The word affections means things that affect you. You ever see somebody with a new car? They park it at the end of the parking lot. Why? Because it's an affectionate thing for them. It affects them. You ever see a boy and a girl start liking each other? It affects them. It affects them. You ever see somebody, they got a brand new job? It affects them. Here's what he says about things. You have to be careful that you don't set your eyes on things here. By the way, things come and things go. Got news for you. Money comes and money goes. Someday you'll have more money than other days. Some days you'll have more investment than other days. You cannot base your decisions based on money. Money is not going to teach your children character. Money is not going to make a happy marriage. Relationship makes a happy marriage. Communication makes a happy marriage. Has nothing to do. Look, I'm telling you, you can drive a $50,000 car and the steering wheel turns to the right when you pull it, just like you do when you drive the Volkswagen that's worth $2.52. You've got to be careful tonight that you don't base your decisions based on carnality, based on the sight. It's going to ruin you. It is going to ruin you. You're going to wind up dropping out of church. You're going to wind up putting other things first in your life. And before you know it, you're completely destroyed. Why? Because where you're leaning is where you're going to fall. Don't lean in the wrong direction. Lot's desire for carnality to be cardinal. Wait a minute. Lot's direction was careless. Give me another young man that was chosen. All right. His direction was careless. Matter of fact, guys, go up in the choir like we normally do. All right. His direction was careless. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 11, the Bible says, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east. By the way, if you do a Bible study and you do it on geography, in the Bible, you're going to see that whenever somebody goes from the west to the east, it's normally not a good decision. But here's what takes place. The Bible says here, then Lot chose all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. That's not always a good decision. It's not a good decision, young person, when you think you're ready to separate yourself from your godly heritage and your godly parents. It's not good for you to make that decision if mom and daddy, you listen to me, don't think you're ready. I'm a firm believer in going through authority. You listen to me tonight. If mom and dad says that boy, that girl is not good for you, then you make sure that you listen to your parents. If mom or dad say, look, I really don't think you ought to take that job, but mom, dad, it's paying good. Yeah, but mom and dad have some spiritual antennas. They're looking out for your best interest. They're trying to help you. They're not trying to hurt you. Your mom and dad did not bring you into this world to ruin you on purpose. Your mom and daddy brought you into this world to help you. And by the way, when your parents correct you, then you take the correction. If mom and daddy says, don't fold your arms and throw a fit and stomp off in a rain, don't do that. If you do that, I hope, it doesn't matter what age you are, I hope they get a paddle and wear you out. You know, thank God for parents that love you enough to try and help you, that will correct you and guide you the right way. Here's what Lot was doing. Lot was making a cardinal decision. And because of that, you see the carelessness in this. Look at verse 12. Abram, the Bible says, dwelt in the land of Canaan. And by the way, this is really neat. It didn't matter where Abram went. God was going to bless him. See, God does not bless the place. God blesses an individual. Yeah, Abram could have went someplace else and God would have blessed him. Abram could have went someplace else and God would have blessed him. I tell preachers all the time, stop playing church. Stop playing religion. Get the power of God on your life. Let God work through you. Stop being somebody that is selfish. Stop trying to live for yourself. You live for God. You live sacrificially. You give everything that you've got to Jesus Christ. And you let Jesus Christ have preeminence in your life and flow through you. And that's the only way you're going to see God bless a ministry is if you decide to give your life wholly to Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, watch this tonight. Here's what the Bible says in verse 12. The Bible says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward, get it, toward Sodom. He's not living in Sodom yet. He's not down there. But what he's doing, he's taking his tent, and he's pitching it toward Sodom. He's looking toward Sodom. The lip of the tent is open toward Sodom. And so every time he looked out the tent, he saw the lights flickering. Every time he looked out the tent and he heard the music, he would raise his head up to see what type of music it was and where it was coming from. Be careful that you don't develop. Here's what the Bible says, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you're either conforming or you're transforming. Can't do both. You're either being conformed by the world, or you're being transformed by the word of God. You cannot be in both places at the same time. You can't have an empty glass and a full glass at the same time. You cannot have that which is the mixture here. And here's what he's talking about. Lot was making a decision, but it was not a good decision. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, if it looks bad, don't do it. So give me a chapter and verse about this, and a chapter and verse about this, and a chapter and verse about this. Well, what about for the sake of your testimony? Look, I can't give you a chapter and verse about passing by a dirty magazine rack and one of these gas stations, but there's some things that's just not wise, and there's some things that just don't look good. There's some common sense about living for Christ. You know, I can't give you a chapter and verse about everything that you practice, but just living above reproach, having a testimony that's right, having a testimony that's shining, having a testimony that's bright for other people to see. What about that? What about that? You know, my daddy told me, he said, there's some things, Mike, he said, that you'll never do because your last name is Wells. There's just some things you won't do. Because he said, your last name is Wells. And what he was saying is, I'm going to protect our family name. What about protecting the name of Christ? Yeah, I just believe that when I get into an elevator, I just get a strange suspicion that everybody kind of thinks I'm a Christian. And because I think that they might think I'm a Christian, I guess I better do my duty, and I guess I better love them, and I guess I better give everybody a gospel track and talk to them. Because I just don't want to disappoint them. You know, I mean, here's what the Bible is talking about here. This careless life. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 13. It not only talks about that careless life, but it talks about how a careless life. Give me another young man. Thank you, Dale. It talks about how that careless life leads to a compromise. He compromised. Where did it start? It started with carnality. Oh, come on. Look, you've got to understand this. There's a reason. You say, well, oh, you got so much going on in the church, preacher. I realize you can't do all of it, but I'm telling you, you better get plugged into some of it. Amen. The more you plug into that which is spiritual, duh, the more it helps you to become spiritual. The more that you, okay, so you can't do it all, but do something. Do something. Get plugged into a Sunday school class. Find a soul winning time and plug yourself into it. Why? Because the more that you plug yourself into it, the more it's going to help you. You cannot survive and be something and be that one that God blesses staying unplugged. You need help, just like I need. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I don't know anything about soul winning. That's why we're here. That is why we're here. We're here to help you. We're here to guide you. We're here to show you the direction in which to go. You say, but I can't be aggressive like what you're talking about. Okay, but you can pass out one track. Then eventually you can get enough boldness to pass out two. Then three, then four, and before you know it, you're passing out more. And before you know it, you're actually talking. You're actually talking. You know, you knock on the door. First time you knock on the door, soul winning, you're praying, dear God, don't let anybody come. The second time you go out or third time you go out, you knock on the door, you're saying, dear God, let a nice person come. Third time you're saying, dear God, let somebody come that's going to let me present the gospel. All that so far is just about you. But you graduate from that eventually. But you'll never graduate from that if you don't start. Young preacher says, well, I tell you what, I'd like to learn to preach the way some of these guys preach. You never will if you don't start. You've got to start somewhere. Just like riding a bike, you can sit there and read all the manuals about the bike that you want to, but once you get on it, you're going to fall off if you don't get on it and stay on it and just keep pedaling. Come on. Practice makes perfect. So what do? You just keep practicing till you get better. You young ladies that's playing volleyball, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take practice over and over again. Okay, so you didn't hit it this time and it came right to you. And you thought, why is the ball coming to me? Well, when you hit it, it helps. All right, so you go to, and I want the girls, you hit balls weird. You know, us guys, you know, we hit it this way and we hit it this way. But you do this weird thing with your hands and you come down, you cuff it backwards. I'm thinking, dear Lord, they're going to break their wrist. But you cuff it backwards and the ball comes over and you do that. And amazingly, it goes over the net. I mean, that to me, that's just neat to see you can do it and it actually goes somewhere. And it goes over the net and then you practice it over and over and over again and you get better at it. You remember last year, the first year we started volleyball leagues? Now, I'm just being honest with you. It's pathetic. I mean, it was absolutely, you didn't come to watch the game. You came to laugh. I mean, our girls, you know, they would dive and the ball wasn't even there. You know, they would back up. Some girls, a trip over their feet and they sit down for prayer. But you know what? As the season went on, what happened? Well, you went, and now you weren't going to see, wow, that was funny tonight. You weren't going for that reason. You said, man, it's hot. And you watch Brother McCarty jump up and down. He has sweat rolling off the top of his head all the way down past his chin. I mean, you know, leaving sweat everywhere he walked. You watch parents that was over there. Hey, that's my daughter. Hey, look at that. Hey, come on, what am I saying? I'm saying this, that you practice and you practice. Here Lot was deciding what he was going to do with his practice, with his lifestyle. His tent was heading towards that which was solid. Oh, he wasn't there, but he pitched his tent that way. The way that you're leaning is the way you're going to land. Years ago, are you listening to me? Years ago, I made a commitment, stay pure onto marriage. Just made a commitment. Now I decided to keep it until that day comes. I decided to keep it. When Mrs. Wells walked down the aisle, I was scared to death. We had 350 people attending the wedding that night. I was scared. Man, I never kissed her before. She's walking down the aisle and I'm thinking, dear Lord, this is real. I mean, this is actually happening. She's walking down the aisle and she's getting closer to me and my heart's pounding in my chest. I'm about to die. She gets closer and then the preacher that married us, he said, you may now kiss the bride. And I thought, oh my. Now you understand, we courted for over 2 years and I've always wanted to do that. Matter of fact, I got kind of romantic when we were courting one day and I bought her one of these big candy kisses and I wrote her a poem. And the poem was about the kiss that I wish I could give you, but I can't. And this is the substitute. But with every bite, think of me. Yeah. Some of you guys are saying, wish I would have thought of that. I've been married for 42 years, hadn't thought of it yet. But wait a minute, here's what you see about Lot. Lot was somebody that compromised. Look at your Bible, Genesis chapter 13 and verse 13. The Bible says, and the men of Sodom says were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. All right, wait a minute, exceedingly, that means it wasn't just a normal sin. These were bad boys. These were boys that were just really wicked. It was just beyond the commonness of sin. These were deep, evil men. Look at it, verse, I'll just read it to you. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, the Bible says there came two angels to Sodom at evening. The Bible says, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So he knew what holiness was all about. Come on, how many guys have I seen over the years that used to be, aren't anymore, they compromised, and they say, I remember when I believed that. Hey, I remember when we taught that in our family. Hey, I remember how close my family used to be to the Lord. All right? Now, wait a minute. What takes place? Why did that happen? Well, I think it's explained in the book of Psalms, if you will, chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here's what happens. You step out into the world, you start walking that way. You start walking that way. First, it starts with a walk. Then you stand still and you start gazing at it. To stand, the Bible says, listen to it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way. The way is the way they're living. The way of sinners. The way. Before we were called Christians at Antioch, we were called people of the way. Children of the way. When they saw a Christian before the days of Antioch, before we were called Christian. And by the way, when we were called Christian, that was not a pat on the back. When they called us Christians at Antioch, that was a term that they used that was not an endearing term. That was a slanderous term. That was a mocking term. But before that day, we were called children of the way. Now why? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you lined up with him, you were called children of the way. Now here's what the Bible says. The Bible says over in Psalm 1 in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I don't need to live my life in such a way that I'm identified with somebody that knows not Christ. But first we walk that way, and before you know it, we stand still and we start to enjoy it. Oh, where does it go from there? There's always the progression. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth, it says, in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Wait a minute, who's he being scornful about? He's being scornful about the ones he shouldn't be sitting around. He's being scornful about them, but scornful about everybody else. Doesn't say who he's scornful. He's just a scornful person. Look up the word scornful, and you'll see it in the book of Proverbs. Follow it all the way through. It talks about a critical person. You want to see if you've got a critical heart, look up the word scornful. And through the book of Proverbs, it will give you the definition of who a critical person is. Do a Bible study on it. Step out and do it. You're going to find out if your heart's critical or not. By the way, with every single one of those verses, within a couple of verses before it or after it, he gives a solution to how to overcome it. Look, here's what it says. He says, here's a person. What's he doing? He's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He said, don't do that. Somebody gives you counsel, you're just listening to it. There's a danger in listening to ungodly counsel. Hey, that's why you got a preacher. That's why you got Christians that's around you. That's why you got people that care about you. Don't go to some ungodly person and say, direct me in the path that I should go. Don't do that. Because when you do that, they're going to give you wrong counsel. Don't always go to somebody that agrees with you. Don't always go to somebody that makes you feel good. You go to somebody that's going to tell you, don't do that. This is what you need to do. And what happens is we begin to walk that way. Before you know it, we stand there. We're not just walking in the way. We're standing beside them. You know, if you walk with somebody long enough, you start to talk a little bit. You start to fellowship a little bit. Before you know it, there's influence. Now you begin to stand with them. What happens after that? Then you sit down with them. Wait a minute, that was Lot. Lot walked towards Sodom, pitched his tent. Before you know it, he's standing there inside of Sodom. What takes place after that is he's sitting in the gate. The leaders were the ones back then that sat in the gate. If you walk with them, eventually you'll stand with them. If you stand with them, eventually you'll sit with them. All right, give me another boy. Here's what we got. Statement number one, I said Lot's desire for carnality. He was cardinal. Lot's direction was careless. Lot's dedication was compromised. Then Lot's doctrine was challenged. Watch this. This is sad. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14. Genesis 19:14, as we follow his life. The Bible says that Lot went out and he spake unto his sons-in-laws. So more than one, there's plural. To his sons-in-laws. Says, which married his daughters and said, up get you out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city. But it seemed as one that mocketh unto his sons-in-laws. You know why? because they were so used to seeing a life that did not match up with truth, that when he spoke truth, they didn't believe it. You know, you can have somebody that cries wolf so much that you don't know when they're telling the truth and when they're telling a lie. That was Lot. See, Lot was somebody that lived one way in front of them, then lived another way in front of them. He said one thing in front of them, then said another. They knew where he was coming from. So here he is. Now his doctrine, the doctrine is the pure truth. And so now they're looking, how can we believe you? I mean, look at your lifestyle. How in the world can we believe you? You know, there's something different about just being clean cut. Did you know that? One of the guys asked us, we were in the Philippines, and said, Dr. Wells, you've been coming for a long time, and you do stuff like this. You train national pastors and all. Why is it that you always dress up? And I said, well, yeah, I dress up just because of who I'm representing. There's never been one time where I've ever taught in a barong. You know, now that's their culture, but that's not my culture. And they know I'm coming and I'm representing my culture and I'm representing who I am. I'm not trying to become like them. I'm trying to teach them to become something different. Amen. Just look sharp. By the way, you go to the businessmen in Manila, what do? The businessmen are now wearing ties, looking sharp. You go to Cebu, doing the same thing. They're in business suits. They're looking sharp. Hey, I'm telling you, we ought to decide that. What's wrong with dressing up for Jesus Christ? What is wrong with that? What's wrong with having an old-fashioned shirt? It bothers me when all of a sudden you see these preachers around the nation and they're dressing. What are you teaching the kids? There used to be a day when we would dress up for things that's important. When I take my wife out to an exclusive restaurant, I dress up. I look sharp. Why? She's important to me. When I'm going before a governor, I'm going before a congressman, I'm not going to dress down. I'm going to go in there and sit with him, give him the gospel, and help him. I'm saying tonight, it's important for us to understand that there's a challenge now that is in Lot's life, and his doctrine is being challenged by the own ones that love them the most. What does your kids think about your Christianity? By the way, can I ask you something? Which way are you leaning? Because the way that you're leaning is the way eventually you're going to fall. If you're leaning towards becoming unfaithful, eventually it's going to happen. If you're leaning towards not reading your Bible the way you should, it's going to happen eventually. If you're leaning towards dropping your Bible standards, it's going to happen. Well, don't lean that way. You know, it's just as easy to lean to the right as it is to the left. It's just a different direction. Look, today I could be who I am, and tomorrow I can change if I want to. The difference is I don't want to. I don't want to become less Christ-like. I don't want to become less than an example to you as somebody that I love as a church member and to preachers that's looking at Parkside Baptist Church from around the world. Hey, I don't want them to look at, I want them to see that the old-fashioned way still works. I want them to see that God can still be honored. I want them to see that God can still bless an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, zoning, separated Baptist church. Let's not get rid of it. Let's bring it back. One of the things that disturbed me when I was looking at the Dallas Metroplex area is all the independent Baptist churches that used to be. Are you listening to me? But are no more. I'm not going to name the churches, nor would I name the websites, but I tell you what, I got in some of the websites of the churches that used to be, and now they got these long hair freaking looking guys getting up, playing their lead guitars, having strobe lights, and you go to their youth centers and it's nothing but a rock and roll concert. Let me tell you something, that's straight out of hell. You got to understand tonight that we ought to take a stand. We ought to decide that you and I take a stand for our children's sake. We ought to decide tonight that our children are worth that. There needs to be some young men in America that graduate from Lone Star Baptist College. Get your Bible, hit a pulpit, get out there and preach, salvage, son. Don't let the kids be sold down the tubes to the devil, but you decide tonight you'll take the right type of stand. Get that old-fashioned religion back. Oh, listen to it tonight. There's Lot's doctrine begin to change. Then something takes place. I've got just three more statements and I'm done. Give me one more guy up here. Watch this. Lot's daughters was corrupted. I want you to see it. Genesis chapter 19, verse 36. The Bible says, thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Hey, they were corrupted. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm a man and I got man's blood. Now, I'd want to hang the guy. Come on. You say, well, you know, you're kind of brass about this tonight. Somebody ought to be. I am tired of the wimpy little boys that's walking around in Christianity pretending that they're leaders. I'm telling you, our nation is being sold down the tubes in a handbasket. And until the pulpits get right in America, the families don't stand a chance. Until you get some preachers that get back up and they got leather lungs again and they start preaching the old way instead of trying to pacify people. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt their feelings. They're going to get their feelings hurt anyway if they want them hurt. If they're looking for a way out, they'll find it. You don't have to give it to them. They're going to find it. The back door does swing both ways. You know what I found out when I was at Union City Baptist Temple? The hotter I preached, the more people came. Because they were looking for a place that would be a place for their children. They were looking for a place where they could rear their children. But we go over to Martin and we go soul winning. And there was people, and Brother Lofton could tell you, that drove all the way from Martin that joined our church. And they had kids and they were bringing their kids because they wanted to be in the environment. Look, when you've got a preacher that's hot about God, you better thank God for that. You better thank God you can get your kids in a place where the preacher's not afraid to pick up a Bible and preach that Bible. Why? Because that Bible's going to change somebody's life. Don't be afraid of that. I've said often, I'd rather be in a church that's too far to the right than one that's center of the road or to the left. Because at least it gives me room enough to grow. I wouldn't want to be in a church where I outgrew the pastor or his vision. But I'd want to be in a church that you got a man of God that has a vision. You got a man of God that wants to see something done. Now, I'm telling you, every time I preach in the church service, and thank God for some of the people that's in the balcony tonight, but man, it grieves my heart that balcony's not full. Now, I know we're getting there, but you got to understand, Brother Wells, I wish we were there 6 months ago. It's not for the crowd, it's for the precious people. Look, I could care less if we ever run 2,000 or 3,000. Here's what I do care about. That those numbers, quote unquote, represent individuals. That's what I care about. You know, and when a family hurts in this church, man, I hurt with that family. I mean, when they go through a trial, if you know me and you've spent any time with me whatsoever, when somebody's hurt and I'm dying, I was at the house the other night and I looked at Mrs. Wells and I said, honey, I don't know if I can take that. You know, just dying over a situation. Now, it's because there's a deep love. You know, and the deeper you love somebody, the more you're going to get hurt. Come on. Hey, let me tell you a way to kill the preacher. No, I'm not going to do it. Let me tell you a way to kill the preacher. You just decide that you're going to back off. You realize how many people I'm chasing every single week now? Realize how big the list is? Realize how many phone calls I'm making, how many people I'm texting? I mean, it is night and day nonstop. You realize the emails? My wife could tell you. My daughter could tell you. Well, I thank God for my children that's willing to give their daddy for your sake and for the sake of the Lord. And I thank God for that. You know, some of you kids, you know, you go home to an average family, and we go home, and what we're doing is we're still pouring our lives into people long after the church service is over. Yeah, my wife's sitting around waiting, You know, and thank God for Brother Palmore and some other people now that, and Josh now that Josh has a different job and sometimes is able to take mom home. And, but before it wasn't that way. You know, sitting around because we got that one car and so just kind of sitting there and waiting until 11 o'clock at night. Never one time angry. Never one time said, hey, could I go home? I'm tired. She'd just sit out in the hallway and just pray for those people I was counseling. Hello. But I'd rather have somebody that's going to sacrifice their life, their energy for Jesus Christ than somebody that's going to sacrifice their life and their energy for somebody else. Come on. And if we would understand where Lot was messing up in his life, is it first started with the sight. Come on. Does the sight of a ball game bring more excitement in your life than the sight of old-timey preaching? Does the sight of some girl getting up and having a real tight skirt on that's really, really high, does that bring more excitement to your heart than our heavenly harmonies that get up here and they dress modest and they sing for the glory of God? What excites you more? Does it excite you to see these little boys walking around with these little bitty ties and they got these smiles on their face? And does that excite you more than seeing somebody goes to a carnival ground and they win something by throwing a ball and getting a prize? Where's your sight at? See, wherever your sight is, that's the direction that you're facing. And the direction that you're facing, I'm telling you, what happens if you're facing the wrong direction, you become careless. You know where we get our word a casualty from? Comes from the word casual. Somebody that becomes more and more casual all the time is destined many times over more so to be a casualty than other people. Here's what we got tonight. You see, Lot was carnal in his thinking, very fleshly. Because of that, he became careless. Because of that, he compromised his doctrine. Because of that, even his own kids, his sons-in-laws and his daughters didn't even believe him when he was speaking the truth. And he's getting farther and farther away, and he corrupts his own daughters. Let me give you just two more. Lot's decision was very costly. Just two more, and I quit. Give me one more boy here. Thank you, John. All right. Lot's decision was very, very costly tonight. Very costly tonight. Watch this, and I'm going to close it down. We'll go to the house. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, you're not going to reap in the same day you sow. I feel like giving up on my kid. She's making bad decisions. I just feel like giving up. It's not reaping time. It's not reaping time. You just keep sowing. We had wheat fields, hay fields, and corn fields on that farm, that 280-acre farm. Did you know if we just sowed just a little bit, we got a little bit of crop? But if we sowed all the acreage, we got a huge, massive intake. The more seed you put in the ground, the better the crop. More good seed you put in the ground, the better the crop. More bad seed you put in the ground, worse the crop as far as the fruit of your labor. Now, here's what it says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, I hang my hat on this. Whatsoever a man soweth. You ever do this? You ever go sowing? I'm trying to help you. You ever do this? You go out sowing and you had a bad day. Just didn't go well. Haven't led somebody to Christ this week or last week. Then all of a sudden, you got these visitors show up. Whatsoever a man soweth. Talk to preachers all over America. I call 9 preachers now, or I text 9 preachers on Monday. These are 9 friends of mine. I love them, but just seems like Monday's a hard day for them. They're 9 pastors. I love them, but I know that Monday's a hard day for them. So every Monday, they either get a phone call from me, an encouraging word, or they get a text message from me. Sometimes Mrs. Wells and I have sent them gift cards, sent them out to eat. We've done all sorts of things. Now, why? Because it just seemed like Monday they're having a hard time. My staff is saying, I know the key now. Every Monday I'm going to have a hard time. But you notice here, his decision is costly. If you're going to spend something on somebody, spend it on investing in their lives. And by the way, they don't have to say thank you. I've told many people who come to our office, I said, look, you misunderstand, Brother Wells. I didn't come here to be loved. Now, thank God when I get some, that's wonderful and I like it. But that's not the purpose of me coming here. I didn't come here to be served. I came here to love, and I came here to serve. So it doesn't matter to me how much love I get. What matters to me is how much love I'm able to give. That's what matters to me. I want to be able to love as many people and touch as many people and help as many people and serve as many people and lead as many people as I possibly can. Man, if I was in this for me, I would have been discouraged and got out of this thing a long time ago. You know how many people you love that never responds in love? You know how many people you compliment that never give you a compliment back? You know how many people you pat on the back and they never pat you on the back? You know how many people you try and help and they never try and help you? You can't be in it for yourself, because if you do, then you're going to get out of it very quickly. You've got to be in it. Look, I'm not supposed to be a husband to see how happy my wife can make me, though that is her responsibility on her side. But I'm in a marriage relationship, number one, because it's the will of God and I'm staying in it. But a part of that marriage relationship is serving my wife. Well, you're quiet on that one. Yeah, I want to make sure her needs are met. I wish my wife would dress nice, and I wish she'd wear a nice dress. Well, then cough up the money, big boy. Man, it costs money. Man, I wish my wife would change her hairdo. Okay, then you cough up the money for the hairdo. Amen. You know, man, you say, "Boy, I wish my wife would learn to cook." All right, then if she agrees with it, and she probably won't, pay for classes. You know, no wife is, don't go to your wife and say, "Honey, I love you, but would you please learn to cook?" Man, she's going to hit you over the head with one of those rolling pins. Wait, here's what you see about Lot. Lot was somebody that was cardinal, led to a carelessness. He compromised. It cost him something. I want you to see something else. Here we go. Here's what the Bible teaches here about Lot. I'm almost done. Here's what it says. As it was costly, you realize he lost his own kids. You realize his wife followed him out of the city, but man, she was just so enthralled with the city, she couldn't help it. She just wanted to look back. Wonder where she got that look from. Wonder how come she looked back. Come on. You see something long enough inside of the home, and it changes everybody that's in the home. You think about this. It was recorded. I mean, it was recorded what Lot did. You know, here's what you see in the Bible. Listen to it. Genesis chapter 19, verse 37. The Bible says, "And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, and the same the father of the Moabites unto this day. The younger," it says, "she also bare a son, and called his name Benami." The Bible says, "the same the father of the children of Ammon unto this day." So it was listed in a chronological type of order about what took place in his life. I mean, it was given that way. It was chronicalized. It was written in the Bible for everybody to see. Okay, this is what took place in his life. Okay, all these that was with him, those daughters that bore children. Hey, it's always written. What you do will follow you the rest of the days of your life. Understand this tonight. Here was Lot. Lot just had the wrong type of look. He decided he's going to pitch his tent. He didn't have to pitch it that way. He did not have to pitch it that way. You know what I found out? I found out, look, I love you. I'm going to preach for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to guide you. I'll bury your dead. I'll marry your young. I'll counsel you when you have difficult times. I'll show you what the scriptures say about anything that you want to know. I'll try and help you. I'll try and be there for you. But here's what I know. I can't live for you. I can't do it. Here's what I can do. I can give you truth, and I can pray and hope that you rise to it. But I can't live it for you. I can't come in your living room and one do it and control you. No, we need to be yielded to the Lord. You know, I decide how much of me I'm going to give to God. But I decide how much I'm going to give to God in an individual manner. Now, I praise God for those years ago. I heard one sermon that changed my life forever. It was called Sold Out Christians by Ron Riley, an evangelist of years ago. Changed my life forever. One sermon changed my life forever. Boy, I went home and I made decisions. I wanted to be a sold out Christian. I listened to that. It was a cassette tape back then. I listened to that cassette tape over and over and over until I wore it out. Changed my life forever. Now, when I listened to that message, or you listened to me, I decided I wasn't going to have a wrong look. Didn't matter what my friend said. Didn't matter what anybody thought about me. Didn't matter what my relatives thought. I decide I'm going to have a right look from this day forward. It's just going to take place. I'm not going to look in the wrong direction to whet my appetite. You know how many times people have tried to get me involved in all sorts of businesses? Because they know I've got contacts around the nation. And they know I speak before hundreds of people and sometimes thousands. And they want to get me in a business to utilize me, to use me to promote their business. But I'm not going to look that way. I'm not going to use the ministry, if you would, to be able to profit. I'm not going to do that. What am I going to do? I'm going to try and help people to look the right direction. Hey, come on. When we do that, then we don't live that careless life. We won't compromise. We're not going to be challenged in areas. We're not going to be corrupted. We're not going to be costly. And the things that are chronicalized about us, the things that are written down about us, you listen to me. Somebody's going to read it. It was Spurgeon that said this. He said, never write one word you don't want 1,000 people to read. There's the danger of your Facebook. There's the danger of your copy and pasting texts. There's the danger of your emails. Look, if you don't want 1,000 people to read it, I wouldn't write it. Because it's going to come back and eat your lunch. Yeah, you know, somebody's just looking to read something to find out more about you. We had people when we first came and we started doing the website. And we changed it up a little bit and people got excited about it. And by the way, are you listening to me? How many people, tell me out loud, how many people visited? 3,700 in 1 week visit our website. How many visit the sermon page, listen to sermons? 1,900 in 1 week listening to sermons. So the sermons we preach from this pulpit is not just to you, but there's over 1,000 or close to 2,000 other people that it's helping too. Come on. Now, why are they plugging into something like that? It might just be because it's helpful. Hey, and if it's going to help close to 2,000 people outside of these doors, then don't you think it ought to help those that's inside these doors? Hey, if that many people is getting excited about it and they go to the willful, they've already gone to church. They've already heard their preacher. But they're plugging in and they're listening to something. Why? Because it's helping them. What am I saying? I'm saying don't have a wrong look. You decide not to be somebody that's careless. You decide just don't cast your tent in the wrong direction. Why? Because whatsoever area you lean in, that's probably the area you're going to land in. Just decide to lean in the right direction. Look, no matter where Brother Wells would go as a pastor, I thank God I'm here, I'm not leaving, you're stuck. But now wait, no matter where I would go as a pastor, I'm going to preach soul winning, separation, surrender, no matter where I went. Come on. Didn't matter if I went to a church that was running 40 or if I went to a church running 4,000, message doesn't change. You know, when God would lay on my heart to preach at a church and they were running 40, I preached the same truth. But when I would preach to a church that was running 10,000 plus, I preached the same truth. Didn't change. Truth is truth. You and I are supposed to rise to that truth. And God wants us to rise. Hey, don't lean in the wrong direction. Well, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like that I'm being too biblical about rearing my children. You can't be too biblical. Well, sometimes I just feel like that maybe I'm just a little bit of a narrow-minded person. Well, that's because you're comparing yourself to other people that have no narrowness whatsoever. They're all trying to be politically right. Forget the political rightness and be a daddy. You know, you just do right because right is right.
Teach your kids what is right because it's right.
Look, thank you. Be seated. Go ahead and be seated. The Bible talks about child rearing. I'm not an expert at it. But I know this, that your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks always louder than your talk talks. I know that to be true. You can tell your child to do something with a talk, and it does not mean as much to them definitional-wise and depth-wise as they see you do it. Thank God for our youth directors do a great job with our teenagers. They push our teenagers. They help our teenagers. They guide our teenagers. Wonderful. Hey, thank God for that. But to be honest with you, I think teenagers sometimes look around and say, what's mom and daddy doing? I'm telling you that your walk does talk and your talk does talk, but that walk will always talk louder than your talk talks. You know, we have to decide that we're going to be people that has that walk the right way. Closing illustration, I'm done. Daddy was dying. You heard it before. I'm going to say it again. Daddy was dying. He was in Delaware. We drove up. We were serving the Lord in Mississippi at that time. We drove up. My dad was dying, laying in a Delaware hospital. When I went in, he had a tracheology tube stuck down his throat. I got him on the phone several times. The nurse was in contact with me about every hour and a half. And she said, Mike, he's not going to make it. I said, put the phone to his ear. He'll make it. And I was shouting that phone, Dad, hold on. I'm coming. Dad, don't you give up. Dad, you stay there now. Don't you go anywhere. You stay there. Dad, you just hold on. I'm coming. I walked in the foot of his bed that night. There was a young couple. Now, my dad's dying. But my daddy was already saved. I walked into that hospital room that night. My dad is dying. I went up. I held his hand. I loved on him. I prayed for him. We decided that night whether we should let Jonathan come in or not. He was just a wee little kid. My wife and I decided if he should see his granddad in this state of being. And so, and then I had prayer with him, pat him on the hand. I said, Daddy, I just want to tell you. I want to tell you right here and right now, I sure do love you. And you're the best daddy a boy could ever have. And if you need to go home now, you can go home. But I want you to know, I sure am proud to be your son. My wife could tell you I patted him on the hand. One long after that, he took his last breath and he was gone. I looked at that young couple and I said, my daddy just checked into heaven. What about you? You know, I think my daddy, as my daddy was holding on, that young couple heard about, I don't know who they were to this day, had the foggiest idea. It was a young couple, looked like a newly married couple, didn't know him from Adam. But for some reason, they respected my dad. And they stood there at the end of the bed, and they were crying. And I walked over, they were Catholic. I walked over, and I put my arm on him, and I talked to her, and I said, my daddy just went to heaven. And I'm not concerned about my daddy right now, but I am really concerned about you. I said, if you took your last breath like my daddy took his last breath, are you going to meet him in heaven? And they said, I don't know. I said, well, you can know. I cracked open that old New Testament, and at the foot of my feet, the foot of my daddy's feet in a hospital with his body growing colder, took that New Testament and I showed them how to be saved. And that young couple bowed their head and they received Jesus Christ as Savior. I think my daddy looked over the portals of glory and said, yeah, that's the way it should be done. Amen. By the way, I want to be able to look over the portals of glory and see my children one day. And as they're growing up and I'm home, I want to be able to look over and say, yeah, that's the way it should be done. Listen to me. One day, whichever way you're leaning is where you're going to land. Don't lean the wrong direction. For God's sake, for your spouse's sake, for your children's sake, for your sake, for your parents' sake, lean the right direction. I get on those things, those old beams, you know. Man, I get up there on those beams, and I'd stand on those beams, and boy, you know, I'd, 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 you know. know, and then I'd fall on the piano every single time. But what I would do is I would, don't sit in that one. Hey, Brother Polka, you want to go over there and try that? No. But I'd stand on those beams, and you know, you kind of go this way a little bit, and you put that foot out in front of you, and before you know it, whichever way you leaned is where you're going to fall. Don't lean the wrong direction.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.